This is the official
in
start.
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Medically Speaking, Auburn's own medical radio show with host Dr. Mark Vaughn of the Auburn Medical Group and Larry Finney.
And we are actually live.
We are.
For our audience. Small audience, but it'll build up as
it'll
we
build,
go here.
It'll build, it'll grow, it'll be, it'll spread like MERS.
Yes, like MERS in South Korea.
Mm-hmm. Now, you tweeted out this subject again, and I'm like, where did he pick this? Last week, it was an obscure condition having to do with the bowel problems of youngsters.
That's a good show.
And that this week, it's an obscure disease that probably no one that we know will ever get.
That's because we usually do stuff that everybody knows and has.
So we're going to get to something very unusual.
This week. Yeah.
Well, let's do steatopygia next week.
Steatopygia. That would be bloody...
No, steatopygia.
I'm sorry, fatty...
Yes, yes.
Pygia?
Yes, steatopygia is a unusual collection of fat on the buttocks, usually associated with a Hottentot tribe of Africa.
Steatopygia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a little growth, fatty growth hanging off the backside.
Insensitive or whatever, but you know, the brothers refer to it as ghetto booty.
Okay.
You know, it's the large baby got back.
Baby got back.
Yeah.
Not baby come back.
Yeah.
The MERS. The MERS exists.
Well, wait, first of all, MERS. MERS stands for
Middle East Respiratory Syndrome.
Not to be confused with MRSA.
No. MRSA is a bacteria, whereas MERS is a virus.
Okay.
And it's probably not going to affect us, but it's in the news. So I thought people might be interested and would like to be reassured why it's not going to be affecting them.
Mm. Sarah Palin's in the news too, but I don't want to talk about her.
Is it health related? Is she bad for your health?
Can be. For your hearing. She's got a voice like a, you know, fingernails on a chalkboard.
Okay. We'll figure out how to get that taken care of. So the MERS is in the news because it's in Korea, because there was an outbreak of 40 people get infected with it. So let's back up a little bit and talk about what this is and where it came from and what we've known about it up to this point. It's a respiratory infection, not too unlike a flu virus in that it causes fever, cough, can cause shortness of breath, rarely will cause some GI symptoms, but can lead to pneumonia. Boy, this does sound like flu, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Especially affects people who are immune compromised, or people with some kind of health problem, people with chronic heart, lung disease.
Diabetes,
kidney disease, chronic kidney disease. People who have anything wrong with their immune system. These are the people who are really vulnerable to it. They're more likely to get it. And if they get it, they're the ones who are more likely to die from it.
In other words, people in hospitals.
People in hospitals, yes, it spreads in hospitals. It has a mortality rate of somewhere between 30% and 40%.
Yeah, it's got a high kill rate.
1 in 3, 1 in 4 out of 10 is dying when they get it. What's interesting is the outbreak in Korea, 40 people infected, 4 have died. So what's the deal? That's a much lower mortality rate than what it's supposed to have.
Hmm. Are they okay? What's the cure? I guess we're getting ahead of the game, but obviously
they don't have a special cure in Korea. They just have supportive care. That's all.
That's it. There's no cure for this thing. You just got to let it run its course.
Not too unlike SARS. You remember that?
Remember the SARS? That one SARS. They killed. It was a big panic.
Yeah, the respiratory
sudden acute respiratory syndrome.
Simeon? No, that was
syndrome. Sudden acute respiratory syndrome, I think is what it was called.
That's close. I don't think that's exactly it. But
whatever it was, it was a big panic.
SARS. The treatment is respiratory support, which means if somebody gets so bad that they're going to die without being intubated and put on a ventilator, then you do that. And maybe you'll use steroids, systemic steroids, to get the inflammation down.
So what are our chances of getting MERS here in California?
Very small. Very small, very, very, very small.
So that's our show for the day.
Yeah, really. It really is. It truly is. The people who are passing it, usually when somebody's infected, no more than one other person actually gets it from them. That's about it. It requires a lot of close contact for somebody to get it from you. And we're not even sure if it's respiratory spread. Seems like it's contact over time that family members get it, or somebody who's caring for you in the hospital room gets it. So it's not that.
It's direct person-to-person contact, but I saw where in Korea where they had quarantined up to 1,600 people, but 1,500 of those people were quarantined simply because they were at a conference where a particular doctor who had been treating a MERS patient was attending.
Is that interesting?
They were so afraid.
It can take up to 14 days for the symptoms to start after you get exposed to it.
So what happens there? The doctors put you on house arrest for 14 days. Say, please don't leave try not to travel, try not to be in contact with anybody. You know, go be alone for 14 days. Contemplate your place in the universe.
Yeah, and until we get through this.
And try not to die.
Yeah. Now, to give you a little bit of background, we're talking all about South Korea with this, but really, this thing is from the Middle East. And
what,
it's called ME, Middle East. It comes from the Arabian Peninsula, first discovered in 2012. In Jordan is where they think the first case was. It was first isolated. I believe it was first isolated in Saudi Arabia. And then we had a long time before we really got information about it, or before it got reported to the World Health Organization, which some people are kind of up in arms about that happening over in the Arabian Peninsula.
You mean the delay in the reporting delay. It?
Yeah, because it was a while before they got it.
Well, I mean, think about it. If you're a country that thinks it has an outbreak, and this goes back to travel restrictions, countries are reluctant to say it, to report it, because it cuts down on their tourism. And if they're heavily invested in the tourist industry, if that's their big thing, maybe, I mean, I'm not defending this. In fact, it's kind of underhanded. Don't bother to tell people that you might die if you come to my country.
Yeah, there's a lot of controversy over them not reporting it any earlier than they did. The rate of the mortality rate over there is like this 30-40%, and they're having some trouble there because they weren't really sure where it was coming from, and now it looks like it's from camels and bats. That's what the reservoir is.
Right. So this is, I saw that, and where does MERS come from? I'm reading this from an article, I think it was, who put this out, USA Today or whatever. It says, it's not clear, but camels and bats are the top suspects. Camels can carry the virus, but many infected people had no direct contact with camels. Now, I haven't seen too many camels walking down the streets of Auburn lately. Bats can carry it, but it says, now this is the World Health Organization. Their advice is people should avoid drinking raw camel milk or camel urine or eating meat that has not been properly cooked. Well, okay. I know that's going to put a crimp in your weekend plans, because I was looking forward to a nice tall glass of camel urine, but you know, I guess I'm going to have to avoid it because I don't want to catch this MERS thing.
We actually did get a question through the Periscope, and it was on a scale of 1 to 10, apocalyptic scale.
Yeah.
How apocalyptic is MERS?
Well, not so much.
We're giving it a one.
I think so. Since September 2012, roughly 1,200 cases. Now, 443 of those died. That's a high kill rate.
Yeah.
But 1,200 since 2012, almost 3 years.
I think a big part of...
So just don't drink camel urine. Stop that.
And that's also what the comments are saying, that people are stopping their regular consumption of that.
Yeah, well, camel urine, otherwise known as Bud Light, you know, it's just just don't do it.
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. Now, one of the things, you know, what we're establishing here is, why are we talking about this?
Exactly.
It's because it got in the news. And the reason it did was because Korea just totally went all out on stopping this by quarantining, 2,000 people, closing 1,000 schools in an effort to do this. And this all happened after the fourth person died from it. So that kind of got the attention of Seoul's mayor. And so he declared war on MERS.
Well, I think he's going to win. Okay, and really what this is a more about the phenomena of panic, if you will. Because a few weeks ago, we did a story on, students going on spring break with, meningitis.
Yeah, Neisseria meningitis type D or anyway, C.
Anyway, so where's your meningitis now? I mean, it's right. still around, it exists, but, you know, there wasn't a bunch of wholesale deaths among the students of, what was it, Oregon State or University of Oregon or whatever it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just didn't happen.
It's, well, it's a country that was affected by SARS. You remember all the people wearing the masks?
Yep.
Well, now they're all wearing masks again, by the way. Actually, we should take a picture of ourselves wearing our office surgical masks.
We should.
That should be the picture for this show.
Right.
So go ahead and call in on Skype. To use Skype, you just click on the little S on the side of the screen. For those of you listening live on medicallyspeakingradio.com. And for those of you watching on Periscope, you can also put up your comments. I've been reading them. I just haven't been sharing all of them.
We should share some of them.
Well, after your comments about the camel urine, you can imagine what was...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, are there people defending Bud Light?
That may be what's happening. I'm not quite sure.
We'll be hearing from Anheuser-Busch's lawyers soon.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure they have some.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of that, you know how the... well, maybe you don't know. In cities with large beer breweries, they have tours of the brewery.
Absolutely.
And so you have the one in St. Louis where the brewery is right on the St. Louis, or right on the Mississippi River, which is not pretty water, by the way.
The muddy Mississippi.
That may tell you something there. And then there's the Coors.
In Golden, Colorado.
Golden, Colorado. But here's the thing. Coors also has a brewery somewhere in Kentucky or Tennessee.
I did not know that.
And I had a friend once tell me about asking a question about the water for that facility when he was taking the tour where they're telling how clean the water is from the mountains.
In Golden,
here.
Colorado.
And apparently the one in Tennessee or Kentucky was not the image of pureness.
Well, nonetheless, I think any water they run through that has been purified or whatever. It's just like the bottled water that you
just
buy.
Just like the bottled water we get that comes out of a tap in Sacramento. Exactly. I actually read that on a bottled water once.
Yeah, it does.
It may be from such and such well or in New such York such City. County, or it may be from a tap in Sacramento.
Right. Why not? And you're paying for it.
A little comment about the Yuengling Brewery, America's oldest brewery.
Yes, in Pennsylvania somewhere, I think.
I think I saw a documentary on that. Family-owned operation, I believe. Oh, Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Pottsville, Pennsylvania. That's right. It was featured on a documentary called Beer Wars. Now that we're going from camel urine to beer, I recommend the documentary
sense.
Beer Wars. It's a good one. And then you along with me will refer to certain products as camel urine. Well, so I think actually the more interesting phenomena on this news story is the fact that it's a story at all.
It really is. The reason I did it was because it's at the top of the Yahoo News and because somebody asked about it on one of our midweek.
Well, and we fear the spread of disease because, okay, so somebody gets it in the Mideast. He gets on an airplane. He or she gets on an airplane. Therefore, all those people in the airplane potentially are exposed. They land, they go to their different places. Let's say they all get on buses, subways, whatnot. Then the next thing we see is, you know, it just spreads exponentially, which would, I could see that
one,
being.
But this one isn't. This one takes close contact over time. Maybe one person gets it from one person who's infected. It's just that it's very deadly when people do get it. But usually it's not young, healthy people who are getting it. Usually it's people who are compromised anyway.
Pre-compromised. Well, if you think about it, look at, 7 degrees of separation contact from the original person. Somebody planted an idea in my head the other day and said, you know, as you walk down the street in a random large city, it is possible that standing next to you or passing within a few feet of you is someone with whom you've had some form of casual commerce with on the internet. You have seen one of their comments on Twitter, or you have commented on one of their posts on Facebook, or you have played words with friends, or whatever. What are you laughing at? I see you looking at the screen. Is someone
okay? Mixler has a chat function.
Yeah,
and Leanne V provides us with this information.
The benefits of camel urine? Well, do tell.
Okay, so let me read here. camel's urine is, and I don't know what the source of this is, and I don't know, I can't vouch for the accuracy of this, but here we go. Camel's urine is efficacious in the treatment of skin diseases such as ringworm, tinea, which is ringworm, by the way, and abscesses, sores that may appear on the body and hair, which could also be abscesses, and dry and wet ulcers. Camel's urine brings the secondary benefits of making the hair lustrous and thick. Maybe we should think about it.
Mmm, your hair smells so good.
And removing dandruff from the scalp. Camel's milk is also beneficial in treating hepatitis, even if it has reached an advanced stage where medicine is unable to treat it. Yeah. Do you believe any of that?
Well, let's see. So I got rid of, I have good news and I have bad news. I've cured your hepatitis, but now you have MERS.
I think you got it.
It reminds me of that stupid little folk song about the woman who swallowed a fly, and then swallowed a frog to get rid of the fly, and then she swallowed something.
The cure is worse than the disease, yeah.
Yeah, and then ended up swallowing dogs, cats, and things to
horse,
kill
cow.
The thing. Yes, exactly.
I don't know how she swallowed a cow.
That's it. You know the song. All right. So we could make up a new one. There was an old woman who had hepatitis.
Who went to the Middle East
and drank camel's urine or milk or whatever. And then she got MERS. And then we make a mini series out of it.
Each episode is a different thing that she takes to cure the previous one. That should be on that doctor. Did I tell you? All right. Okay. For those of you who don't know, who are listening, Larry and I have a love for cinema, and not just for real cinema, but for our own. And we've made some funny videos, and one is on Medically Speaking, right? No, not Medically Speaking, right? Auburn Medical Group YouTube channel, the one called Big Shot.
Oh, Big Shot, yes.
Yeah.
Where the child gets to choose the needle that he gets to administer to the doctor.
That's right.
Taste of one's own medicine.
We've done that one. Of course, we did a lot of airsoft medicine videos that were fun. Well, we want to make a web series about a bad doctor. But I found out everything we talked about, all the essence of it, is Doc Martin.
Yeah, I love that series.
Isn't that what we talked about? Isn't he the bad doctor?
Well, he's not bad.
He's not bad medically. He just doesn't have people skills. That was totally our...
No filter and has no people skills. Kind of like a...
It's exactly what we wanted.
Yeah. Asperger-ish type of character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, audience, if you want to see... Doc Martin redone as an American series and with Larry playing the doctor, give us thumbs up and give us hearts.
I can't guarantee that quality of...
And comment on the Facebook and on the blog if you want to see that series.
It's sort of been one of those projects kicking around the back of our minds.
But everybody that we've talked to, and we've got enough people to do all the everything that's involved, all the actors and production people, everybody wants to do it. It's just a matter of getting it written and doing it.
Stay tuned. But back to pop psychology for a minute. Why do you suppose people panic over this, over things like, why are little diseases, I won't call them little diseases, obviously this thing has a high kill rate, but when something like this happens, why the sudden fervor by the news media to cover it and to make it sound like it's an apocalyptic event that's going to kill you and your children in your beds by sometime this next week?
The answer is slow news day.
Okay.
You got to sensationalize something. Why don't we have it be this?
But it seems to happen all the time.
I know.
You know, there's always something. The disease du jour.
What's the quote from Agent K on Men in Black? There's always something about to destroy the world.
Exactly.
You know, we're always just seconds away from total annihilation.
Yep. Yep.
Kind of reminds me of, I told you about that podcast, Dan Carlin's Hardcore History.
Yeah.
Blueprint for Armageddon 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Perfect example of that. You know, once we reach the 20th century, we have the ability to wipe ourselves out, or at least knock ourselves back to the Stone Age technologically. Well, the threat is always there.
I don't know what it is about mankind, but they love to embrace this apocalyptic eschatology where, you know, the world is about to end. And, you know, whether that spreads into one's religious belief or whether that just is something they like to, Well, look at all the dystopian TV shows, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Over and over. It's the same show.
What's the zombie show?
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Yeah. And there's been tons of those. You know, Hunger Games, the whatever. The world has gone off its hinges. Mad Max.
If you're writing a
Book of Eli
right now, make sure it's not the dystopian future, because it's going to be dead by the time you get it done. Why don't we go back to vampires? Maybe it's time for that.
I want to go back to Westerns.
Westerns.
Nobody's done a good Western in a while.
It's been hard for those to make a comeback. You know, there have been some good attempts. There's been your Tombstone and Unforgiven.
What they are is rehashes. You know, 3:10 to Yuma or whatever.
Yeah, it's the same story told a little differently.
Well,
different cast.
Every story is the same story, really.
Oh, and what about Tomorrowland?
I haven't seen that one.
That's the latest dystopian apocalyptic future movie.
Oh, yeah. I didn't realize that was the turn it was taking.
I thought it was a
bald shot by Disney to try to sell more tickets to Disneyland.
To Disneyland to visit.
You know, kind of like they did Pirates of the Caribbean. And
tickets, too.
Yeah, let's...
Here's my two-sentence review of it.
Let's make a movie called Space Mountain, you know?
That's the next one.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Actually, okay. On Tomorrowland, they show the city skyline in the distance, and you can see Space Mountain in the foreground of the city.
Okay.
So it is tomorrow. It looks like Tomorrowland. Okay, Tomorrowland, I watched it, and it really appeared to me that somebody didn't have enough time to finish the script, or somebody took a good story, if it was good in the first place, and just changed it without regard for making it work story-wise. That's how I felt about Storyland or Tomorrowland.
Right. Well, started with a good idea and it
Storyland.
Fell apart.
Storyland. That's the next movie
that
Disney will put out.
It's kind of like Night at the Roxbury, right? It was a funny visual gig, but you can't turn it into a whole movie.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's true of any Saturday Night Live skit.
You
cannot make a feature film out of
It's Pat or...
Or
when they've tried it.
I Wayne's World almost did it.
Yes.
They
got two of them out of it. They squeezed a couple movies out of that one.
I still say almost.
Well, it's just like we can't squeeze...
The second one shouldn't have been made.
We cannot squeeze an entire show out of MERS.
No.
It is impossible.
No, it's obvious.
On the off chance that on our broad worldwide audience, there's somebody in there going, but wait, Doc, I think I feel... What are your symptoms? You know, what would be the symptoms of MERS? It's
just like flu.
Flu.
Body aches, fever, cough.
Okay.
And here's the thing. If you have a mild case of it, it doesn't matter. We just don't want you to spread it around.
But how do you know the difference between this big nasty and some simple common cold?
The CDC is telling us as doctors what to look out for. They're telling us first of all, the symptoms, but of course, that's anybody who has a bad cold or influenza. So the thing that's different is the contact. Have you been to the Middle East? Have you knowingly been in contact with someone or been in a healthcare facility where someone was treated within the last 14 days? That is the question that has to be asked for somebody that you're suspicious could have been MERS. And if the answers are positive, you have to test them and send it to the health department, who sends it to a CDC lab that checks it. We don't have anybody that fits that criteria.
So if you're potentially patient X and you've got the cold, you're kind of like, well, do I go see my doctor?
Have you been to the Middle East? Have you been in contact with someone that is known to have had? And if you don't know, then the answer is no. If you go, well, I don't know if I've been around somebody who's had it, then the answer is no, you haven't. Believe me, you haven't.
Okay, so what if I die before morning?
Yeah, you need to know where your eternal soul is going to be.
Well, I suppose you better write down the
fact that... You have more important questions.
I told you I was sick. Whose famous tombstone was that?
Isn't that Mark Twain? Samuel Clemens?
No, I can't remember who it was. It wasn't...
I told you I was sick.
It wasn't W.C. Fields. W.C. Fields' tombstone supposedly said, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia.
Who's the guy with the big nose, the rhinophyma?
What's that?
The rhinophyma,
that was W.C. Fields.
Okay.
Famous quotes like, I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy. but supposedly his tombstone says, on the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. But there was someone that his tombstone said, I told you I was sick.
I still think it was Mark Twain. If you guys know who it was, go ahead and comment in on
whose tombstone
on the chat on Mixler or just Skype in. That'd be fine too.
Or we could Google it, right? It would be pretty.
Yeah, cool, really.
That's okay.
Oh, the audience is also telling us they can't hear you.
Oh, can't hear me.
That's what they're saying. All right. Where'd he go? Larry's still here.
I'm still here. Let me shout. What we need is the sign language thing, like speaking of Saturday Night Live. Remember Garrett Morris with his
No, who's that?
Oh, they used to do the news for the hearing impaired.
Oh no.
And they would put him in the corner in a little like an inset.
What would he
and
do?
You would you would think that he would be doing it like American Sign Language, but someone would read the news, like in today's news, and then Garrett Morris would put his hands to his mouth and go, in today's news, and simply just shout it louder.
This must have been in the 70s.
Closed caption
early 80s.
For the hearing impaired. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
Back in the golden days of Saturday Night Live.
If there were any.
There were. There were some dark days, but there were good ones. Just like anything. Anyway, where are we heading with this? We would invite anyone out there in our listening audience who believes they have MERS to give us a call.
But please cover the microphone of your phone.
Well, put your mask on first.
Put tape over it. And then we won't hear them. We'll just hear.
Well, no, then we. Oh, God, that could be bad. We could be infecting an entire.
We'd be spreading it.
Oh, we'd be spreading it like MERS.
It's like hearing aids.
Hearing aids? Oh, no. That was terrible.
I thought it was funny.
Okay. So we've killed that subject, I think, or subject doesn't kill us first,
yes,
we have killed it.
So if you guys have any comments or questions, go ahead and call in on Skype.
About anything, even if you don't think you have MERS.
Yeah, that's right? True. You don't have to have
Doctor,
MERS.
Doctor, I have a rash. It won't go away.
Or even the people on Periscope, if they have comments, it doesn't have to be about MERS necessarily, but certainly if they have questions about MERS, that they're welcome to ask that. While we're waiting for calls to come in, I'll go ahead and do the housekeeping items, and that is, please. Like us on Facebook, Medically Speaking Radio. You can also follow me on Twitter, which is at Dr. Vaughn, or Periscope, at Dr. Vaughn. And you can also rate our podcast series on iTunes. Please don't do it based on today's. And you can also write comments on, or reviews, excuse me. Those are all things that would help us. And if you do follow us on Periscope, give us lots of hearts. And for those of you who are listening to us over the podcast, this is pre-recorded, and it's months down the line. Maybe it's even 2016 if the apocalyptic event has not ended the world as we know it.
Right. If you're one of the last surviving people on Earth because MERS has wiped out the rest of the world.
Then I have a job for you. So if you're still there, and you can look up the podcastawards.com, and if you see that we are nominated in the health category, vote for us.
Right.
This would probably be late winter, early spring, like February of 2016, vote for us.
Who should we have accept the award for us in the event of our demise? I mean, if the MERS gets us.
Well,
accepting the award for Dr. Vaughn.
Somebody who it doesn't get, obviously.
Well, we don't know who that will be.
I know. Okay, so.
Okay, so if you'd like to nominate yourself, if you're a healthy young person and you think that you're.
You want to collect the award.
You live maybe, let's say you live in one of those weather observation stations in Antarctica. And there's no freaking way the MERS is going to get you. You write to us, give us your contact information, and we will make absolutely certain that you, in the event that we win the medical award or the podcast award for medical topic, you can accept the award for us and all the accolades that come with it.
Yes, absolutely. Let me also put in a word for our friends at Auburn Oaks.
Do that.
Following a hospital stay, you may need to make a sudden decision about skilled nursing care. It's easy to feel confused by the types of care needed. At Auburn Oaks Care Center on Bell Road, trust that we have the facts you need about skilled nursing care. The physicians, nurse practitioners, nurses, and rehabilitation therapists at Auburn Oaks will ensure that you understand the appropriate care needed. That's one reason why Auburn Oaks is voted best of the best by the Auburn Journal year after year. Visit us or go to auburnoakscarecenter.com.
Okay, so we're back.
Yes, we are.
All right.
And nobody who's listening live or on the podcast knows what just happened.
No, that's this beautiful secret. You've always wondered what happens when people go to commercial. You know, what occurs? Do people dash off to the bathroom? Do they take a quick swig from the flask? What happens?
Of Camel milk.
Did they order in more camel milk laced with, you know, Coors Light?
just Dutch Brothers this morning. Actually, you didn't have any because?
Well, because I intend to donate blood. And you know what? I'm going to go donate blood, and they're going to ask me those very questions.
If you've had any camel urine, if you've had any camel milk.
Well, maybe not specifically, but
the Middle East.
No, seriously, they're going to say, have you been feeling well and healthy? Have you traveled to any of the following countries within the last X amount of time?
So many days, yeah.
You know, have you ever, shall we say, consorted with the following people?
Yeah, and then it describes et cetera, their employment.
Their employment, their line of work, and their proclivities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you answer all those questions, and then if you pass the test, you too can be stuck with a needle and had a pint of blood drawn from you.
Yeah, for the vampires, which we're not having any more movies about.
Yeah,
that
stop the vampire and stop the zombie movies. Let's return back to westerns and spy movies. Well, you know, spy movies.
Oh, there's spy movies.
Okay, well,
yeah, there's spy movies. There was what's it called? The Royal Men or the Respectable Men.
Sure.
It's supposed to be a lot like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Superhero movies. You know, those are kind of huge.
And something other than a Marvel or DC movie. Oh, okay, I guess we haven't had DC for a while. Although this next one coming out with the Batman and Superman, because of who they have playing Batman, I'm not watching it, but because of who they have playing Lex Luthor, I am.
Well, I want them to add, if they would add Homer Simpson to the team there as part of the...
He'd be a villain.
No, put him in as a superhero. I would totally watch that.
Yeah. So, actually, we had a question. Is this a podcast? Yes, this is the Medically Speaking Radio podcast. Please subscribe on iTunes and give us a rating.
And explain to them how they find it.
You can just go to iTunes and look for Medically Speaking Radio, or you can find all the episodes at medicallyspeakingradio.com with pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, let's go ahead and wrap up this one, and we'll have another show out for you next week, 10 a.m. It'll probably be pre-recorded next week, I believe.
Every Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific time.
The new one comes out. So until next time, this is
Larry Finney
and Dr. Mark Vaughn telling you to stay in good health.